Greetings and welcome to the AVOD. I'm Count Vargelon.
DM.
And on tonight's AVOD, two movies that have snow in them. Although based on its title, one has much less snow than you would think.
Yes. You also confused it for an entirely different movie.
I did?
Yeah. We'll get there.
Okay. All right. I'm very, very intrigued by...
You don't remember that, do you?
Not at all, no.
I have the text to prove it.
Oh, no, I don't doubt it. I just, you know, it's happened before. Mm-hmm. But first, random crap. I understand you went to a city recently?
Yeah. So I went to Montreal this past weekend.
Uh-huh.
And did a bunch of stuff. But one thing I want to talk about... is this installation I went to called Echoes.
All right.
Or Echo, because it's in French.
It's okay. They don't mind if you translate. It's Montreal. It's not Quebec City.
It's a bunch of VR experiences.
Those are the best kinds of experiences.
And it was so cool. So there are like 12 of them to choose from, I think, and they're all of varying lengths.
Okay.
And your ticket is good for 3 hours. So you kind of got to pick and choose which experiences you want to do.
How long are the experiences?
Well, they range. Some of them are 4 minutes. I think the shortest one is 4 and the longest was 22.
Oh, wow. Okay. So yeah, you really do have to prioritize.
Yeah. But they have this series of three chapters, I suppose, of this thing called Spheres. And it's all space stuff. So it's like the story of the cosmos, essentially. So there's one about gravitational waves and one about the Big Bang and one about the solar system.
Nice.
Really cool.
No, it sounds like it. And I mean, is it, what kind of footage is it? Is it all CG immersive? Or are you looking at real photographs and video captured 3D spaces?
The space one is all CG stuff.
Yeah.
With probably some stuff from like, you know, pictures of space that we have, because there's one point with the solar system where you can stick your head inside a planet and you can sort of see. So like I stuck my head inside of Jupiter and you
can see all of the layers of gaseousness right down to the core.
Yeah. So, well, not right down to the core, but just sort of this layer of like all these like incredible gas clouds and stuff like that.
That's so awesome.
So the space one is all CGI stuff.
Yeah.
But then there's this other one that's this documentary about, I guess, like the lives of astronauts or something like that in space travel.
Oh.
And in that one, one of the scenes you see is the Falcon 9 rocket taking off.
Damn.
But the camera is positioned like way up the tower, up at the top of the rocket.
Whoa.
So straight down to the ground at your eye level with the top of the rocket. So when it takes off, it's just like the whole rocket passes in front of you.
Damn.
It was so cool.
No, that is badass. That is badass. And that seems like something that would trigger my fear of heights pretty hardcore.
Oh yeah, big time.
But yeah, because I did the Everest VR and it's like I regretted doing that immediately.
Yes, you will not enjoy that. But there is I think the best part about that one is there's a scene where the camera is inside, I guess, the Soyuz capsule.
Okay.
It is tiny.
Yeah. They are microscopic.
Shit. So it's these two dudes in their spacesuits strapped in. Like, there is no room to move in there.
No.
It's like a canopy. Far back from the panel. Excuse me.
It's okay.
The cosmonaut, he's got a little pointer stick to push the buttons.
What?
Because
that part I did not know about. Wow.
In front of him, but he's sitting in this chair, so he can't reach the panel.
Oh my god.
He's got a stick.
Oh, that's crazy. So he's using a reacher stick pointer. To operate a spacecraft.
Yes.
That's amazing. that is something I had never heard of.
Yeah, that was pretty, but it was so funny because this thing is so tiny.
Oh my god. That is crazy.
Oh, so wow. It was cool So if you're in or around Montreal, you should definitely go. It's in the Phi Center in Old Montreal. It's called Echoes.
And remember, Old Montreal is best Montreal. I want to point out, they still have cobblestone streets.
Not a lot.
Not a lot of cobblestone streets, but if you want to walk on a cobblestone street, Old Montreal is the place to do it.
Yes.
Or, you know, certain parts of Toronto.
Down in the distillery.
They still have a couple of cobblestone streets. That is badass. So, do you have a list for us?
I do have a list for us.
Ooh.
So, this is a list we return to on occasion.
Okay.
It's not this exact list, but the theme of the list.
Gotcha.
So, this is 23 winter horror movies that deliver some real chills.
Ah, puns. Hear that. Perfect way to start any list. Alright, hit me, winter horror films.
Alright, so it's enumerated, but I don't think it's a value judgment.
Okay.
Alright, so number one, The Thing.
Of course. Well, if it was a value judgment, that would be the perfect place to start, although you'd want them to count down to it.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, we've talked at length about The Thing here. We don't have to remind people that The Thing is the best horror movie ever made. Like, it truly is. I don't know how you haven't seen The Thing, but if you haven't, it's your job to now go and see The Thing.
Number two, Whiteout.
Oh, is that the murder mystery in Antarctica?
Yes.
I still haven't seen that. That's crazy.
It's not good.
Okay. I remember you didn't like it when it came out, and I just never got around to seeing it. Probably for good reasons. Okay.
Also, and I'm reading the little synopsis here. I'm like, this doesn't even make any sense. The lone U.S. Marshal in Antarctica has only 3 days to stop a murderer before the sun sets for months of darkness.
You know, you can still stop a murderer after the sun goes down. It's not like it's the purge after night goes down. Also, they don't get away with their crimes after the sun goes down.
Would you still even be there?
Well, no, I think that's the idea, is, like, her last plane out, maybe, is...
What the fuck is a U.S. Marshal doing in Antarctica anyway?
Solving a murder. Like...
No, but it sounds like she's stationed there.
It does sound like she's stationed there, but I'm sure she isn't. I'm sure she was flown down after the murder. It would be weird if they just... For 40 years of Arctic investigations, there's always been a cop there, just in case there was a murder. There never has been.
But why a marshal?
It's the most boring job in law enforcement. No, the U.S. Marshal, because that's often who deals with, like, extraterritorial stuff like that.
Are you sure? Are you making that up?
No, I'm pretty sure it is U.S. Marshals that would handle, like, a unneutral area.
It's not a neutral area.
I don't think they'd send the FBI. I think they would send a U.S. Marshal if it was an American who got murdered. And I guess it depends on who is governing that, like, whose research lab it is. Like, if it was a French research lab, I'm sure they wouldn't send a U.S. Marshal. But if it's a U.S. research lab, I think they would send a U.S. Marshal as opposed to, say, an FBI agent. I could be wrong about this, but that's how I understand the Marshal Service works.
I thought they just escorted people hither and thither.
They also do that.
Anyway, moving right along.
Please.
Number three, Let the Right One In.
Oh, yeah, okay. No, see, that's a perfectly good. Very wintry, very great movie. Obviously, the remake, I was about to say sequel. The remake's fine, but, you know, watch the original as long as you don't mind subtitles, or speak Swedish.
Number three, The Abominable Snowman.
I have no idea what this is.
Apparently it's a Hammer.
Oh, there's a Hammer movie about The Abominable Snowman?
Yeah.
All right, now I want to track this down. Unless this is the thing I've been meaning to track down forever, which is the one by the inventor of Quatermass. He did make a movie called The Abominable Snowman years and years and years ago. Might not be the same movie.
I don't know about it? I think it stars Peter Cushing.
Okay. I mean, I am familiar with one British Abominable Snowman, but I thought it was a TV movie, so I didn't think it was a Hammer film, but again... I will have to check into it, because I've been meaning to watch that one forever, so this might be a good thing to pair with it. Next up.
Okay, I'm going to mispronounce this. Lucy Buddha.
Okay.
Wolf's Hole.
Oh.
Or possibly Wolf's Chalet.
Hole or chalet? Are those synonyms?
Well, I don't know what language this is in. Okay. And then it says Wolf's Hole on the list, but the Vimeo clip says Wolf's Chalet.
Oh, weird. Okay. Well, someone translated something badly.
So,
I don't know who to blame for that one, but obviously someone made a mistake. All right. What's this one about?
It says a politically subversive 80s teen movie turned possible alien invasion?
What?
It's a question. Yeah, I don't know. That's all I can tell you.
Okay, what I love is it makes it sound like the movie is about a teen movie that turns into an alien invasion. Like, that is a very unclear, that is an incredibly unhelpful synopsis. I'm not blaming you, I'm just stating a fact.
Okay.
Alright, next up.
Dreamcatcher.
It's not good.
I haven't seen it.
I mean, it's not good, and it drove, William Goldman away from filmmaking. Like, for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. He died last year. And his filmography was an amazing number of vitally important, incredibly good movies.
And then this.
Then Dreamcatcher. Then nothing for 10 years. Then someone else adapted his, one of his books into a Jason Statham movie. Which was actually a really fun movie. But it's like, he gave up filmmaking. Dreamcatcher went so badly for him.
Yeah.
And he was one of the best. So yeah, that's the story of Dreamcatcher. They called the alien Ripley because of the movie Alien.
God.
Screw you, Stephen King. You needed to take more time off after your accident. There I said it. All right, go.
Number 6, 30 Days of Night.
And it's okay. Like, I don't love that movie.
I enjoyed it.
I know. And it's like, I don't think it's bad. There's some good stuff in it. Ben Foster is as creepy as ever. But weirdly, I think I had a better time in the sequel.
Where they're like in LA
and there's vampires on boats and she's trying to sell a book about all the time vampires killed everybody in her town.
I don't think I've seen those.
We covered it on the show, so you have, but it's, but this was years and years and years and years ago. It's totally understandable you wouldn't remember it. I mean, none of the original actors were back. Like, it was they had the rights to do a sequel, so they did a direct-to-video sequel. But it's like, it did pick up the story exactly where it had left off, so at least it had that going for it.
Okay.
Go.
Number 7, Windchill.
Have we seen Windchill?
I don't think so.
Okay, what's it about?
A car accident on a road trip is bad enough, but when the weather and a potential killer are working against you, it's hard to choose between the lesser of two evils.
That's the weird part. Is there a lesser of two evils when both things are actively trying to kill you? Like, it's, I guess, less dangerous of two evils, but I don't think either of the evils is actually lesser. You know, that happened to the Punisher once.
Oh, okay.
He was in a bus accident, and he was trapped on the bus with a twisted slasher.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a very fun issue. I'm just saying. Punisher, really fun comic sometimes. All right. What's next?
Number 8, The Thing from Another World.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it's an okay sci-fi movie. It's not particularly good. I mean, it's one of those things where I can't tell you whether it's good or not because it's so old that, like, the aesthetics that went into creating it are, like, so far in the past. I'm like, I guess this was revolutionary at the time? But,
I saw it a really long time ago, really late at night, so yeah. I really can't
judge.
Exactly.
Yeah, like maybe give it a watch sometime if it's ever, I was going to say on TV, nobody has TV anymore. If you're ever bored and spot it on Prime, maybe give it a look, because again, I haven't seen it since I was a kid, but by then I had already seen The Thing, so, you know, once you've seen The Thing, how blown away are you going to be by The Thing from Another World?
Well, yeah.
Really good short story, though. Who Goes There?
Yeah.
Really good short story.
Number 9, Dreams.
No idea what that is. Dreams.
It says, Kurosawa's omnibus covers the whole range of humanity, but it's the terrifying and heartbreaking story, The Blizzard, that will make you shiver.
Ooh. Okay, so Kurosawa, I didn't even know Kurosawa made an anthology film, so that shows where I'm at.
Okay, me too. Yeah. Number 10, The Last Winter.
The Last Winter. That's the one where they're like up north and there's like, not Wendigos, Manitou's running around.
It's Larry Fessenden.
Larry Fessenden. Yeah, okay, I remember that one.
Yeah.
Eh. Like, that's one of those things where we watched it for the show and it completely disappeared from my mind right after. Cause I'm like, I remember it was cold and there was a lot of people yelling at each other and then, I don't know, some ghosts maybe. But maybe the ghosts were just metaphors for how oil drilling is bad.
Well, it is, the whole movie is just a big thing about climate change, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
But honestly, like if I sat down to watch this movie tomorrow, it's like I'll be watching it for the first time because
that's how little it stuck in our brains.
Don't remember anything about this movie.
You know, Larry Fessenden made a movie called Wendigo. And then they said it's completely unrelated to that years later he was hired to write the script for Until Dawn. But I'm like, how can that be a complete coincidence? How? All right.
Number 10, sorry, 11, Misery.
Oh, see, there you go. Stephen King can pull it out there if he has to.
Yeah, he can.
Misery's amazing. Although, weirdly, like, I don't think of it as a movie where winter plays a strong role.
Well, it's a winter car accident.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, that car accident could have happened at any time of year.
Well, I think the car accident happened because it was winter.
Oh no, I know it happens because it's winter. I know that's the inciting incident. Like, I get that, but I'm just saying so much of story set in winter is part of the horror is that nature itself is out to get you in addition to whatever else is going on. But nature is never really out to get Paul Sheldon in that.
Well, no, I think the issue here, though, is that, I mean, her cabin's already pretty remote, and then once you add winter to the mix, it's extremely isolated.
That's true.
Because winter itself is
an isolating influence, yeah. Okay, yes. That makes sense. Yeah, I guess because there's never really any threat in the movie of him actually getting out of the house and going anywhere, right? I guess I question how big of a threat winter ever is as a character.
No, I think it's the isolation that...
Okay, it's more the isolation that winter creates.
Part and parcel of the winter time. Okay. Yeah.
I agree with you on that front, at least. I guess, I feel like if there's no threat that the cold is going to kill you, I often don't think that that's the key.
I don't think that's fair.
But you're probably right.
Yeah.
You're probably right on this one.
All right, number 12.
Wow, that word got away from
you. I know, Jesus. Kwaidan.
No idea.
This showcase of Japanese ghost stories is frightening enough, but The Woman of the Snow is heartbreaking as well.
Wow, that's basically the same. Isn't that basically the exact same description of the Akira Kurosawa one?
Pretty much.
Wow, okay. I assume that's the story of the famous Japanese folk tale about the winter lady.
No idea.
It's like a lady turns up and a demon almost kills a dude and then a lady shows up and marries the dude and like he's not supposed to tell that it's that he was attacked by a demon. And then, you know, of course the lady shows up is the demon and blah, 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 blah. It's like a famous Japanese folk tale, been adapted hundreds of times.
Hmm.
And I mean, and it's a winter demon is why I made the connection. I would not be shocked if that is the story they're talking about.
Okay. Number 13, The Snow Woman.
Ooh.
Which is another Japanese one.
Another adaptation of the same fairy tale.
Probably.
Okay. What's the description?
The eerie tale of the Yuki Onna, a snow woman deadly and beautiful who tries to blend in for a brief time.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's the same story. That's the exact same story. Okay. If I wasn't describing the right folktale the first time, I definitely was this time. Next up.
Number 14, Dead of Winter.
I feel like we've seen Dead of Winter.
An actress tricked at state for a screen test meets the doctor caring for the previous star who suffered a nervous breakdown. But as she spends more time around her, she realizes he's plotting more than he lets on. I don't think we've seen this.
Are you sure? I was going to say, is that an alternate title of Curtains?
No, because Curtains is on this list.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, I guess we just haven't seen Dead of Winter.
I mean, it sounds a lot like Curtains.
That's almost the exact same plot of Curtains is all I was saying.
Yeah. okay, number 15, The Colony.
Oh, I didn't really care for The Colony.
I don't think I saw it.
You probably didn't. You know, it's just, it's the future, there are Reavers, blah, blah, blah,
I think
blah,
I made fun of the trailer.
It wasn't a good trailer, and it wasn't a particularly good movie, and I'm like, how is this even in theaters? Like, I know Lawrence Fishburne's a big deal, but is he such a big deal that it, like, warrants this movie being in a theater? Because this does not feel theatrical quality.
Number 16, Frozen.
Oh, I was about to say, Disney movie? What? No, of course, terrible chairlift movie. God-awful chairlift movie. Okay.
Which I will never, ever watch.
No, it's fine. Like, you're a skiing professional. That movie's just gonna piss you off.
Yeah.
Like, that's all it would ever do to you. It's not gonna scare you. You're just gonna get pissed off.
Yep.
Go.
Number 17, The Invisible Man.
I had no idea that, I mean, again, I have not seen this movie in 40 years. So I had, wait, which one? The original?
That would mean you saw this movie.
I know, when I was born. I know. Don't do the math.
1933.
Yeah, so it's the original. I had no idea. I have no memory of there being a winter section of that movie.
It says this classic uses snow as a way to see the unseen, including the footsteps of a scientist driven back by the success of his invisibility formula. All right, whatever.
That seems like it would be a good way to spot a dude, is like watching the footprints in the snow. Yeah, I get that.
All right, number 18 is Curtains.
There we go. It's about time, Curtains.
It's a group of actresses, not just one actress.
That's true, it's not just one actress.
Yeah.
All right, Curtains. Weirdly, we talked about Curtains like 3 weeks ago.
No,
it was last week?
The week before. No,
yeah, it was a couple of weeks ago. But the point is, Curtains came up totally randomly really recently.
Yes.
Very weird that that's the kind of movie that shows up on a lot of lists, but I guess it is.
No, it didn't show up on a list. We were talking about Michael Wincott.
Oh, yes, right. We were just talking about Michael Wincott, as we are wont to do. Yeah. That actually makes a lot more sense.
Number 19, Iced.
What is Iced?
I think we need to see this. A group of teens receive a mysterious invitation to a ski resort, only to find that it's a trap set by a murderer.
Oh, we're definitely watching this. We're watching this next week. It's called Iced?
Yeah.
I'm so excited right now. All right, Iced. Done. Sold.
Oh, God. Number 20, Ghost Keeper.
Oh, God.
Keeping any ghosts.
If you ever want to watch the most tedious movie you've ever seen, and I don't know why you'd want that, but I don't know your life, so I'm not going to predict that you don't want to do that. But if you want to, like, be so frustrated by the tedium, watch Ghost Keeper.
Ugh. So bad.
And
only is it tedious, it's incredibly disappointing.
Okay. Well, again, there is a complete lack of ghosts in the story.
No ghosts are being kept.
No, zero people are keeping ghosts in the movie Ghost Keeper. Again, you had one job, movie. Show someone keeping a ghost.
He couldn't deliver on that. Number 21, The Black Coat's Daughter.
I still haven't seen The Black Coat's Daughter. I know I should. It's just, we had those two bad experiences with what's his name?
Oz Perkins.
Oz Perkins, back to back.
Yeah.
But it kind of scared me off The Black Coat's Daughter.
I know, right?
And it's like, cause it's like, the people love those other two movies as well, and I'm like, but they're terrible. Does this mean The Black Coat's Daughter secretly is also not good?
Maybe, like, does this mean we have to watch it to find out?
I think we're gonna have to. It's on Netflix, right? You don't have to check right now. We can do that later.
Okay.
I was going to say, maybe next week, Iced and the Black Coat's Daughter. You never know.
No, because there's another snowboarding movie that we should see. That
oh, a different, another snowboarding slasher film?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is going to be a great theme week.
And I don't mean the sequel to the one we watched this week.
No, there are two sequels to the one that we watched this week. Yeah, there's Cold Prey 2 and 3.
Oh my god. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Number 22, Satan's Blade.
That's a great title. That might be the only nice thing I say about this, but you got a great title, movie. No one's gonna take that away from you.
After a local man is possessed by a haunted knife.
What?!
He sets his sights on attacking attendees of a local ski lodge.
That sounds amazing!
A haunted knife!
A haunted knife!
Awesome.
Wow. Okay. Satan's Blade. And what year is that?
84.
I'm even more excited now. Golden Age of Slashers. A movie about a haunted knife. Thumbs up.
Alright, number 23. Oh, well, could you guess?
I really can't.
The Shining.
Oh, of course, what am I saying? Of course I could have guessed. Like, what movie obviously hadn't turned up yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, of course The Shining. And The Shining, I mean, I'm not going to badmouth The Shining. It's amazing. I love The Shining.
Yeah. Okay, so Satan's Blade and Iced.
Yeah, Satan's Blade and Iced.
Remember those
two. We're going to make a note of those two. We're definitely watching both Satan's Blade and Iced. All right. But that is a lot of winter horror movies. Hopefully that's not all there will ever be. Are people still making winter horror movies?
Probably. But I wouldn't know because this week's upcoming horror movie is called Corporate Animals and it is not set in the wintertime.
Well, you don't know that for sure, do you?
I can guess.
Okay. What is Corporate Animals about?
Lucy is the egotistical megalomaniac CEO of Incredible Edibles, America's premier provider of edible cutlery.
What?
Yeah. In her infinite wisdom, Lucy leads her staff, including her long-suffering assistants Freddie and Jess, on a corporate team-building caving weekend to New Mexico. When disaster strikes, not even their useless guide Brandon can save them. Trapped underground by a cave-in, this mismatched and disgruntled group must pull together in order to survive.
Okay.
Really thought highly of their ability to synopsize because not even their useless guide.
Yeah, like, no.
In wisdom, come on.
I know, like you really tried to get too clever like a couple of times there and it really hurts because you've just made The Descent meet Severed and that's fine.
No, it's not because Descent is shit and Severed is amazing.
Well, yeah, but so then there's a 50% chance that, like, this could be good. Or it could be exactly mediocre. Which is not, I mean, that's obviously bad. So you're right, more likely this is going to be exactly mediocre. But we can't blame the filmmakers for that terrible synopsis unless they wrote the terrible synopsis.
I don't know who wrote the terrible synopsis.
Probably somebody at the distribution company, if I had to guess. That's usually how it happens.
Maybe. There's some interesting tidbit though. So the lead, this Lucy character, is played by Demi Moore.
What?
Originally was supposed to be Sharon Stone.
Oh my god. Okay. The 90s are back, people. Way to go. I'm really surprised to hear that. Cool. Alright, way to go. Sharon Stone / Demi Moore. I mean, I guess I really can't credit Sharon Stone anymore because she didn't actually do it, but still, Demi Moore, back in movies. I mean, you know, it's about time, Demi. We've missed you. Hey, you know, with all of these reboots, why don't we find out what G.I. Jane's been up to for the past 25 years?
Okay.
Is she Admiral Jane? What's that? She wasn't in the Navy? Oh, okay. Probably not then.
Oh my god.
Okay, I'll stop. I just thought G.I. Jane. I thought maybe she was trying to be a Navy SEAL.
She was trying to be a Navy SEAL.
Oh, she was trying to be a Navy SEAL. Yeah. Oh, then she might be an admiral now. She might be. You don't know. She might be the first female Navy SEAL termed admiral.
Well, what's-his-face gives her his rank or insignia or something.
At the end of the thing, so yeah, maybe she's an admiral now. Although, giving someone your, like, pips doesn't make them that rank.
I know.
Just to be clear. Isn't how the army works. Or even the Navy. Okay, got that one wrong twice. Okay. Yeah, that sounds very interesting. Give me that title again. Corporate Animals.
Corporate Animals, sorry.
Okay. No, I got it. I put you on the spot, but apparently I had it. All right. I don't know if that's going to be any good, but it's certainly got me curious. So there you go. We did actually watch movies this week. It's not just random crap and lists. So let's get started with number one.
Okay. So as we mentioned a moment ago, we watched Cold Prey.
Ooh.
After one of their group breaks his leg, five snowboarders hole up for the night in an abandoned lodge, only it's not as abandoned as one might think.
Ooh. Yeah. This is just as by the numbers, a slasher as you're gonna get.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely nothing wrong. And the reason I ended up having a much better time with this than I otherwise would have is because, oh my god, do they have the best location.
Oh, that hotel?
I love that hotel.
Yeah.
Like, that hotel is amazing. Like, the Evil Hotel or whatever it's called in the newspapers.
Oh yeah, Hotel of Evil. Don't call it Hotel Hell, because that's just not, I think, how their language works, but.
No, I don't think it has the same kind of effect in Norwegian as it does in English.
But we never get, like, a good sense of what exactly went down. Like, there was a room that caught on fire and some kid disappeared, and we find out what happened with the kid, but. What about all this other weird stuff that went down at the hotel?
I think what happened, if I'm wrong, right? I could be wrong about this, but what I assumed happened was that the parents tried to arrange, like, a death for their child that would look like an accident, right? By setting fire to his room. But he escaped, and that's why at the beginning he's running through the snow without effective winter clothing. Because he was just, like, in his room.
Right? Yeah, but and then he that ran room off. Is just one of the normal rooms in the hotel. The kid wouldn't be living in that room.
Oh, I guess he probably wouldn't, would he? Yeah, did not think about that part. Although maybe they were so negligent they just had their kid hung, you know, in one of the rooms of the hotel.
I don't know, it's just...
They're obviously bad, murderous parents, so well, I wouldn't put anything beneath them. Yeah, we've just given away the ending. Although the film does that for you, right at the start. Because if you've watched a movie before, when you see that the little kid 40 years ago has an incredibly distinctive birthmark, gosh, I wonder if he's going to turn out to be the masked killer later.
Who knows?
It's almost like they needed something so we could visually signify that it was the same child.
I don't know why that even matters. Later.
I know, it doesn't even matter that it's the same kid.
It makes no difference, honestly, and raises more questions than it answers about what happened to that kid.
It really does, doesn't it?
Yes.
Like, cause I did some backfill myself, but, you know, it does raise more questions. Although I gotta ask, like, I'm confused about this kid's motives and his MO. Right? Like, he goes and
he... That's the problem with it being the kid. If it were just some random dude, well, we don't need to understand his motives and his
MO. He's just a crazy guy.
He's a guy who kills people. Which, fine. Like, I can get on board with that. But when he introduced the idea of, like, well, it's his kid and his parents tried to kill him, but they obviously didn't succeed and he grew up and I guess he killed his parents and he's been, like, cooling his heels in this lodge for 40 years and, like... What? No.
By the way, I love that they don't immediately realize something's up when the power works. The place has been like, it stopped having new entries from guests and whatnot in the 70s.
Yeah.
But the power all works.
Well, it's the generator. He just got the generator going. Why would the generator not work?
Because gasoline goes bad after 1 year. Gasoline is not, like, cannot sit on a shelf. Gasoline goes bad really fast. So, yeah, like, the idea that there would still be a working generator that hasn't completely seized up after 40 years of no one touching it Yeah, like, that's 40 years of neglect, and winter then summer, then winter then summer. Like, there would not be one, if you're not maintaining that machine, there would not be one moving part on it. And I know I'm now, repeating stuff I said when we were watching Jurassic Kingdom, Jurassic World, the first one, where they find that Jurassic Park Jeep from 25 years ago, and I'm like, no, no, that would not work. But yeah, I'm just repeating myself now, but it's like, why did you not know there was something horribly wrong? And I think the film, so what happens right away is the characters all, they're out for a party of, you know, they're going to go out, they're going to spend the day.
They're just snowboarding. Yeah,
they're going out, they're going to spend the day snowboarding, then they're going to go back to civilization. Cause they've specifically decided to snowboard a mountain that is a very far away from all civilization, right? And so they're going to have it entirely to themselves. But that unfortunately means there are no lifts to the top of it, and they have to snowshoe to the top of it before they can snowboard down. And as the most avid skier I know, is that something you would ever consider doing?
Yeah, that's stuff people do.
Okay, so that's not crazy at all what they're doing.
No.
Okay, because it's just like, because as I'm watching them do it, I'm like, so you're only going to do this once? Because I can't imagine snowshoeing back up the mountain a second time after going down once. I figure like going up the mountain, climbing up the mountain and then snowboarding down, that's your whole day, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, cause it just seemed like such an excessive thing to do. And I mean, I know they're obviously people who they like adventure, they like doing dangerous things. Like I didn't really doubt it from the characters, but I'm like, I wanted to ask you, is that strange a thing for people to do, or is it, you know, within the realm of plausibility?
That's perfectly normal.
Okay. See, that is, I had no idea. I am glad to know that.
What's weird is that they all seem to have regular shoes with them.
That is weird.
That was the weird part for me.
Why didn't they all have like just boots?
Yeah, they should have all just been wearing those snowboard boots, but I guess just it would be hard. It'd be weird on film.
To have them all just clomping around in boots all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, cause like, where were they keeping those shoes?
That meant they would have had their shoes in their bags, and they wouldn't have done that, so.
Yeah, why would you?
So that for me was like, where-
Even if you wanted to like, wear comfortable shoes in the car, you would have left the shoes in the car.
Yeah, so that's where like, the disbelief breaks down for me, so.
Or the weird place for you to draw the line, but I actually really
enjoy
it.
Yeah, like, you know, you're having a hard time with the generator, so.
No, I'm not saying you're not allowed to. I'm just like, it's fun that that's where you drew the line. That's all I'm saying. I know, it's funny for me, because I'm watching it, and I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But the thing that bothered me the most is, like, why they got the guy breaks his leg, and they got him on a sled, and they're like, quick, we've got to find some shelter for him. I'm like, I really feel like instead of hoping you find shelter, like, just drag him back to the car. Like, you're not asking him to walk. He's on a sled. It's not that hard to drag him, and the car can't be more than an hour away.
Yes, it can.
No, they were not walking for more than an hour to get up that mountain. And yeah. More to the point, they walked up the mountain, but then they snowboarded back down, so.
They snowboarded down the other side.
No, and I understand that, but I'm just saying, they're probably not going to have to do a massive climb up to get back to their car.
They have to go around, and so it's a long way. The idea is that it would take them a really long time to get back to the car, and the sun is going down.
I guess, yeah, and if it had it been
and
like...
And that's the issue.
No, and had they shot that scene as, and it made it look like the sun was just like, just starting to go down, I would get it more. But it's still really bright when they're having that conversation, and that's why I was confused. Cause I thought, oh, well, shouldn't they just be able to get there? But no, I mean, if the sun was visibly going down, I wouldn't have questioned that at all. But I assume that's just a limitations of, you know, how many days they were able to get out there and snowboard.
Well, no, it just, but it makes sense though, because the distances between them and the car, I think is bigger than you realize.
Right, because they went up one side and went down the other.
And it would take longer if you have to pull somebody.
No, and I do understand that part. But I almost feel like because this guy's got a broken leg. You don't know how bad it is. Once you see that there's a thing over there, like, most of you go and bring that guy, get him shelter, get him happy. One of you just go back for the car. You know, like, get help sooner rather than later. was my big takeaway. Like, I feel like getting help should be the number one priority, because you never know, what if there's an internal injury? What if he's going to keep bleeding really badly? I feel like you don't know that you can wait till tomorrow to get help.
Again, the issue is that it's night.
But it's not when they're dragging him.
And you're going to cause more problems at night, going for the car at night. So staying till morning is the right thing to do in that situation.
Oh, no. If, yeah, but again, their plan was, like, while they were snowboarding, right, it wasn't so late that while they were actually doing the snowboarding, they were planning to get to the bottom of the mountain, turn around, and I'll walk back to the car. So when he breaks his leg, at the time at which he breaks his leg, the plan was, before he broke his leg, for everybody to turn around and walk back to the car. So I'm just saying, send one person to go and do that. And then that person can get murdered by by a crazy snowbilly. That's fine. But I'm just saying, like, tactically speaking for these people, since the plan was to go back to the car anyway, have one guy go back to the car while the rest of you are going to the chalet. But no, they do not do that. And it's not a big problem for the movie. I just thought it was weird that they weren't prioritizing getting the car as quickly as possible. And no, you're right that they shouldn't have dragged him.
Is to get this guy inside and as comfortable as you can make him as quickly as possible.
And if there were only three friends, you need both people to get him there as quickly as possible. Because there's five of them, you can sacrifice someone to go get the car. Again, it's such a minor point. I feel silly even bringing it up. I'll stop now.
The bigger issue is that two of them should have gone for the car.
You think?
Definitely. If I was in that situation.
Definitely want two people just because it's safer in that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Of course. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. You want to, because, I mean, anytime you're out in the snow, you can slip and fall whenever. So you can't risk going out on your own. Unless there's no other choice.
And as we see later in the movie, there are crevasses out there. So.
Yes. So like, you really can't risk being on your own. But just so taken as this, like, plot stuff aside, taken as a slasher film, I think it's a very effective slasher film.
Yeah, it works.
I think the monster looks great. I like his little, like, creepy snow guy costume. Once again, it made me think, it made me wonder whether the makers of the original, version of Until Dawn saw this movie. Because that's basically exactly how the killer in that was dressed.
Well, I think if you're just gonna have a weird, like a snow hermit.
It's probably gonna
killer.
Be a parka, goggles.
Yeah, there's only so many costuming options available for that type of character.
That's true. I mean, it's probably just coincidental. Just coincidental. But yeah, I just, as I was watching it, I just kept thinking about that wonderful footage I saw of the original version of Until Dawn. And, oh, helicopter. I'm easily distracted. Only by helicopters, though. I just kept thinking about that wonderful version of the original Until Dawn that I was so excited by, and I still wish they would find some way to release. It just seemed so amazing. But yeah, like, it's an effective thriller, like, once they're all there, everybody makes the right decisions, it's a bad situation with no easy answers. Like, I do question a little a guy who's like, gets pissed off at his girlfriend and like, I'm just gonna go sleep on the couch then. But the thing is, that character's an asshole. It's not it's not people doing stupid things to further the plot. Yeah, it furthers the plot, but it comes out of the quite understandable fact that that character's a jerk. And I like that. Yeah, so like, when they need stuff to happen for the plot to keep going, it is born out of the established character behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I really liked that about it. They gave thought to that kind of thing. It's not just arbitrary stupidness. And then when you get into the late film hunt and chase stuff with the killer, all very well shot.
Yes.
And a couple of really good set pieces in a pitch black basement.
Yeah. And like, yes, you can see some things coming.
Oh, can you ever?
but even though it's expected, it doesn't...
Doesn't lessen the impact.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
No, I mean, you see stuff coming a mile away, but you're still like, no, it's still scary and it still hits you in the gut when it happens. So yeah, I think this is a really effective one. I understand why they got the budget necessary to make two sequels to this. I'd be more satisfied if that guy was just dead, because man, what a jerk that guy was. But I do understand.
Maybe it's a different killer.
It would be great if it was like an unrelated, like a completely unrelated sequel. Just a different slasher experience also in Norway.
Just like the Norwegian countryside, like the Korean countryside, just full of
littered
serial killers.
With serial killers. Oh my god, don't ever leave Seoul, okay? Korea is 100% serial killers outside of Seoul.
It's galore.
It is crazy. You cannot stop finding serial killers. It's a deep cut for the show. That is a deep cut for this show. Seriously though, it is a good movie. I mean, yeah, it's in Norwegian. So unless, again, if you have a problem with subtitles, watch it anyway. The dialogue's not that important. Like, I mean, yeah, there's good character stuff in there, but if you just want to have the experience of some harrowing slasher scenes, it's going to work for you whether or not you speak the language.
I guess.
I really think it is. Like, I'm not saying I watched the first third of this in Norwegian before you told me how to get the subtitles working.
I can't, why couldn't you figure that out on your own?
Good question. I don't have a good answer to that. Good question. And I did rewatch it to see what people said, but I'm just saying, when I went back and rewatched the dialogue, I'm like, okay, I didn't miss anything. Okay, good.
So.
I really had. Like, it's all clear who everyone is and what everyone wants. Even if you don't understand what they're saying. There is not a lot of complicated stuff happening in this movie. But yeah, I think we can definitely recommend Fri til Vit.
Yeah.
That's right. Cold Prey rhymes in Norwegian. Isn't that great?
Yeah, it is great, actually. Yeah.
That's right. They had an awesome rhyming title. All right. Next up is...
Polar. When you suggested this, I thought you meant the other Mads Mikkelsen movie that comes out on Friday.
Oh, the one where he's an Arctic dude.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't mean that one.
Because it's called Polar, so I'm like, okay.
I know. And this film takes place about as far from the North Pole as you can get without leaving America.
Montana?
No, that doesn't make sense. No, wait, let me try that again. All right. As far from the... No. There's no way I can say that. No, there's no way I can save that. Just keep going.
All right. So, assassin Mads Mikkelsen is just days away from retirement, only he doesn't know that his employer plans to kill him rather than pay out his pension.
Which, by the way, I like how the movie's whole premise is the assassin who's 8 days away from retirement.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the cop who is 8 days away from retirement. It's a funny little nod to film tropes. And I did enjoy that quite a bit. I do have a question for you though.
If it's, did I like this movie? The answer is no.
Well, no, you can't have liked, I wasn't gonna ask you if you liked the movie. It's not a good movie.
What's your question?
My question was, is it weird that they decided to, have there be no mystery about what's going on?
No.
Like, I found that structurally very strange. That right from the start, they're like, yeah, we're killing people so we don't have to pay out their retirement benefits.
No, that's not weird because I think you went into this movie expecting a different kind of film.
Yes, that's true. I'm sure I did. I was expecting a thriller, not just a, nonsense? Is nonsense the right word?
Action.
Loud, blaring action nonsense.
No, pastiche isn't the word. So this movie doesn't lack for style, but, it
lacks for everything but style?
It doesn't have the energy or the levity of other films of this type.
A Smoking Aces, for example.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's a real problem for the movie.
Well, I found it really troubling where it's like, I know they want this to be funny, but I don't think they know what funny is.
They don't know what funny is because he kills a dog and that's meant to be funny.
That's a punchline to a joke and a puppy. He kills a puppy. And we're supposed to be
a French bulldog.
Yeah, it was an adorable little French bulldog. And I'm like, you know, you just lost your audience, right?
Yeah.
Like, Are you aware the degree to which you just lost your audience, film? And I don't think they were aware the degree to which they had just lost their audience.
Yeah, so there's that. And then there's this real element of sleaze that runs through the whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
That is...
It's a dirty film.
Unnecessary.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I think, was mistaken for humor.
Yes, they thought just having all of the nudity and sex in the movie was in and of itself funny.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. It's not the nudity and the sex. That's not the sleaze.
No. I'm not talking about just the nudity and sex. I'm talking about the nudity and the sex scenes and the way they treat that one character.
No, that's not even what I mean when I say sleaze.
What were you talking about?
The sleaziness comes from, the Johnny Knoxville's character. He's sleazy and disgusting.
He is.
Then when they're trying to track down where Mads Mikkelsen lives and they go to that house in Austin and there's that great big fat trans guy in there.
Yep.
That's really needlessly sleazy and disgusting.
Yes, that's true.
And again, I think meant to be kind of played for laughs.
Oh no, they thought that was hilarious.
And then Matt Lucas's character. I mean, he's weird and gross, but then there's that scene where he's being rubbed down with lotion.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's sleazy and disgusting. The sleaze has nothing to do with the sex in this movie.
I was going to talk about their treatment of the character whose job it is to have sex with a guy until he gets shot.
No, I don't think that term doesn't count as sleazy and disgusting. Okay. That's something else.
Okay.
It's, yeah.
You want to find a different term for that.
I don't have the word for it, but that's not what put me off. Like, that's her job on the team.
Yeah.
She's the honeypot.
Yeah. And that you didn't find as bad as this other stuff with the, and it is very disgusting. Like that scene with the morbidly obese person who they can't kill because they're too fat.
And the way she dresses, the honeypot, that's sleazy and disgusting, but like what she's doing is
just part of the job.
It's part of the job. And that's her, again, like I said, it's her role in the team. What I don't understand is what the sniper is for. Cause he's the worst fucking sniper.
He's really bad at his job.
He's so bad at shooting people in the head. You've got one job to do. Basically, the gun does all the work for you. Why are you so bad at this?
Especially because what I love is in both scenes, he's only firing from like 150 meters away. So, you don't even need to adjust the scope for that.
I was watching this with the gun wrangler, and the first time you see him, he's like, okay, I'm in position. And then all these other people show up to just shoot Johnny Knoxville right there.
800 times. So, I know.
Well, what's the point of
even having the sniper?
Well, no, it's like, if you've got the sniper, why do you need all these other people?
Well, and then I was going to say,
and you see that the sniper can't shoot anyone in the head. So it's like, oh, because he sucks. And that's why they need everyone else to show up and finish the job.
Which, that actually would have been funny had they called it out within the movie. Had that been an acknowledged character flaw?
Yeah.
That would have been funny. Like, that would have been legitimately funny. Because even when he accidentally shoots his partner, she doesn't get shot right away in the head. Even she just gets shot in the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all he ever manages to do, is hit people in the shoulder so they're still free to keep fighting.
Yeah, he sucks.
He's terrible at his job.
And never mind the fact that Matt Lucas is eliminating all of his former employees.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that then cause an issue for the current employees? Like, yeah. I get it. You're young. 50's a long way off for you, but you're going to get there eventually.
Yeah, I know. It's like, why is this team so gleeful about murdering these guys when they know for a fact at some point Matt Lucas is going to do the same to them?
Right.
Yeah, that didn't really make a lot of sense.
Like, okay, he's selling the business, but there's no reason why the new owners wouldn't adopt his business model.
Yeah, well, so, they're actually really happy when he tells them what his business model is.
Yes, they're all for it, in fact. So if you're looking for some kind of mystery or conflict among the characters revolving
that
around
is what I was hoping for,
your
yes.
business philosophy, that there's your point of contention. It's no big mystery that Matt Lucas is killing
all of his own employees.
Pensioners. So, yeah.
Yeah, I thought there would be more to it than that, but then literally, no, it's just, oh no, I'm killing the, like, you have a meeting where he's in a boardroom planning to sell his, you know, murder corporation, and he's like, oh yeah, no, I'm just killing people, you know, just killing people.
I think what the film wants, their big moment to be is when you find out that, Vanessa Hudgens is this little girl from Mads Mikkelsen's dream that torments him, that you never get to see until the end of the movie anyway. So it's like, well, it's meaningless to us as the audience that
because we don't know what he was upset about. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah.
Because we don't know what he's upset about, the reveal, like, it wasn't set up at all.
Oh, it doesn't land.
No, it doesn't land. And the weird part is, if you had just shown us the dream of him, like, putting a gun in this little girl's face as part of the dream, like, oh, he's screwed up because he had to kill a girl one time. And then the reveal would land way better than it does.
Yeah, but then, like, the other issue with her character is that she behaves as if she's an abused woman and has run away from her abuser. But that's not at all.
And then tells a story about that.
Exactly. But the story that she tells isn't about running away from an abusive relationship. It's about being attacked when she was 13 years old.
Yeah.
So even though that's a made up story, everything about her character and the way she behaves in the present doesn't track with the fake story she told from the past and doesn't track with the type of woman her
she's
character
behaving like an yeah she's behaving like an abused woman. She's not behaving like a person who a terrible thing happened to once and is now hypervigilant.
Yes,
like, yeah, she is actively acting like someone who is abused and is hiding out from somebody.
Yes,
but that is demonstrably not what she is.
Recently got out of that relationship, so that's another problem with this movie.
Yeah. No, it is, and that is a big problem with her character. One thing that I'll say that the film did for me is made me realize that it turns out I'm a Hannibal super fan.
Okay.
Because the moment you see Vanessa Hudgens' cabins, I'm like, that's Will Graham's cabin.
Was it?
Yes. I went and I loaded up the episode of Hannibal where you first get to the cabin. I'm like, it's the same cabin. They shot it at the same cabin from Hannibal. And I'm like, it's weird that I was able to recognize it instantaneously.
That is weird.
But the moment I saw the cabin, I'm like, that's where Will Graham and his wife and stepson live. From season 3 of Hannibal. But yeah, that was my first thought as I watched that. And you know what? Turns out I was right. But it's just nice that, you know, for us Mads Mikkelsen Hannibal superfans, they actually went out of their way to shoot in a Hannibal location in this movie, just as, like, an Easter egg for us. So can we talk about the action in this movie now that we've excoriated the plot?
There's one awesome scene.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And it is an awesome scene.
It's totally awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the whole movie is worth it for that one moment.
They make us wait a while, though.
Yeah.
They really make us wait a while for it, but it's a good payoff.
Same scene.
Well, there are only two scenes of note in the movie. One where he just shoots everybody instantaneously, and an extended hallway fight scene.
I'm talking about the shooting everyone instantaneously. Yeah, with the laser hands.
With laser hands.
Yeah.
It's been so long setting it up. It's great.
Because the hallway one, that was cool. But and again, there's the potential there for a really good joke because these guys are coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
And the scene goes on for so long. It's like, where are all these goons coming from?
I know.
And again, but because the movie isn't funny and doesn't understand humor.
Yeah.
It doesn't take advantage of that opportunity. And then later on in the film, Matt Lucas still somehow has goons left over. And when Matt Mikkelsen shows up to kill him, all the goons are like, yep, you know what? Done.
We're out of here.
We're out of here. And they just walk out of the movie and Matt Mikkelsen just lets them go.
Well, no. And to the point where it's like there is actually some nice body language in that scene because they all won't meet his gaze.
Yes.
And one of them points where Matt Lucas and one of them tells him he's upstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that was legitimately funny. But the problem with the hallway gunfight is, it would have been funny if they acknowledged where all these guys are coming from, but also just the fight choreographer didn't do a good enough job, and it isn't edited well, so it doesn't, like, you never get a sense of the space, which is kind of hard to screw up in a narrow hallway.
Well, the problem is that you actually get disoriented, which shouldn't happen because, yeah, like you said, It's a narrow hallway.
You really get disoriented. I'm like, wait, where? Because there's all these off passageways and doorways. And I'm like, you didn't establish these, though. It looks like a straight hallway. And then suddenly there's a guy coming out of a doorway to try and kill him. And he shoots the guy in the head and he takes his gun. And I'm like, you didn't establish this well at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it should have been, they were trying to go for, this will be our scene that's John Wick meets that scene from Old Boy. But it wasn't staged right, it wasn't filmed right, and it wasn't edited right.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like that could have been. But then you get the punchline, which is this scene where he goes to see his gun dealer, and he's like, I need all of the guns.
Yeah.
And he sets up and we see him, and we see it, we take a good minute of him setting up automated cannons that he can just point and make them shoot. And the weird part is it's like they didn't play it for a surprise at all. They show you what he's going to do and then they have him do it. And I'm like, I like that they knew how funny and cool that was. So way to go.
That's about all they knew.
That is about all they knew.
Yeah.
They have one really good moment in the movie, but that's pretty much it. Also, sorry, now I'm wondering, was Matt Lucas's office Casa Loma?
Yeah.
Okay, it was. There you go. Are there a lot of other castles in downtown Toronto?
There's just come the to think one.
No, there's just the one castle in downtown Toronto?
Yes.
Okay. But yeah, I thought, that's Casa Loma, right? Yeah, okay, of course it is. It was silly of me to ever question it. But yeah, it's not a good movie. No one gets out alive. Their dignity. No one gets out with their dignity alive.
Intact.
Yeah. Yeah, intact, yes. And it's weird because there's also this strange tonal thing, because whenever you cut away to the crazy murderers, like you said, they don't have a good sense of how to stage or what comedy is or anything like that. Like, they just don't know what's funny. But beyond that, like, the massive tonal shifts between them and Mads Mikkelsen, right? Because he's in a completely different kind of movie for most of his movie, because it's not broad the way their movie is. And then you'd think their incredibly broad movie coming into his really restrained movie, when those two movies clashed, something interesting would happen. But then it doesn't really, like, there's no real conflict between those two things.
Yeah.
And that really bugged me. Yeah, it's like, if you're gonna have these big tonal shifts, you've gotta find a way to do something interesting with it, and the movie didn't. So yeah, I was sad about Polar not being very good, because I had no expectations for it. I knew nothing. I didn't know anything about the comic book. I didn't know anything about the movie. All I knew was Mads Mikkelsen was in an action movie, and I thought if it did well enough on Netflix, they might buy a fourth season of Hannibal. But that is...
I think those two things are completely unrelated.
Well, no, they famously do their purchasing based on what algorithms say that people like, and I thought, you know, maybe a massive, like, burst in the star value of Mads Mikkelsen just on Netflix will convince them that we want more Hannibal.
No, that's not how that works.
All right. No, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, we all know the story of how they got House of Cards, so I thought maybe that could happen here, but you're right, it's probably not going to happen here. But that is why I wanted the movie to be successful, to make it slightly more likely that we would get Hannibal Season 4 on Netflix, because Hannibal's the best. Although this movie does not make good use of Mads Mikkelsen's skills. Like, he's fine.
Use of his body, though, because he looks great.
Oh my god, he spends a decent amount of this film naked.
Yes, he does.
Naked or half naked, and he is in fantastic shape. And he's playing a 50-year-old, and he is in crazy shape.
Yeah.
For a 50-year-old. So way to go, Mads Mikkelsen. Thumbs up to whoever your personal trainer is. Cause, they could honestly make their body by that personal trainer. This film would be the ad for that. And I think they would sell a lot of memberships. But yeah, so Polar, not good at all. Are we going to watch the other Mads Mikkelsen movie that comes out this week?
Probably. Maybe.
Probably. I really like Mads Mikkelsen, and I think it's a thriller as well, right?
Well, it's him in the Arctic dragging a body.
Yeah, okay, that should be a thriller.
Trying to get help.
All right, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
All right, so what's that one called?
Arctic.
There's no way it's called Arctic.
It is.
There's a movie called Polar and a movie called Arctic.
And that's and why when you suggest Polar, I thought you meant Arctic.
Now I completely understand why you were confused. They have almost the same title. And this one's, it's almost like this one's title was created just to create brand confusion with Arctic. Because once again, this takes place nowhere near a pole.
Yeah, I don't know why it's called Polar.
No, it's really, again, brand confusion. Yeah, I honestly now believe it was an attempt to create brand confusion.
Created a webcomic.
No, is the comic also called Polar?
I think it is.
Oh, okay, then I was completely wrong.
Made that up. I don't know.
Okay. Wait, did you say it was a webcomic?
I thought it was a webcomic.
No, I honestly haven't looked into it at all. So I'm not gonna try and guess.
I'm pretty sure of. So.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, I trust you on this one. All right. So, that's that. Do you have any narcissism you would like to watch?
New episodes of True North Crime and Chicks and Dicks are coming your way as soon as I edit them.
Woo!
So if you like true crime and or romance novels, you can give a listen to that.
Okay. Constant flood of new content at the Hidden Object Guru channel and its sister site, the Totally Objective Game Review channel, your only site on the internet for 100% objective game reviews with no politics or bias of any kind. So that's going to be a fun thing for you to check out. And then, of course, Profiling Criminal Minds. Do you like Criminal Minds? Well, on the internet, there's only one podcast about it, Profiling Criminal Minds. So I would encourage you to check that out.
15 years too late, but whatever.
It's weird that no one beat me to this. Like, it's really weird that no one beat me to doing a Criminal Minds podcast. Well, it's one of the most popular shows on television. It's very strange that, like, no one cares about critical assessment of Criminal Minds. Well, they do now, damn it. Profiling Criminal Minds. Answering all of the big Criminal Minds questions. Like, what's the best episode of Criminal Minds? Profiler Profiled. Season 2, episode whatever. Maybe 10, 13, something. No, episode like 10. It's the best episode. They never did a better episode than that in the next 13 years. So.
Well, you haven't watched them all, so you don't know that.
I do, though, because everyone I do know who's kept watching the show has told me that it's only gotten worse since the seasons I'm up to. So since the last great episode was in season 2, I doubt they got amazing in season 13. All right. So I guess that's that. Is there any other way to get in touch with us?
You can visit the AVOD's blog at theavod.com. You can leave us a comment there. Tell us about how much you didn't like Polar. You can send us an email at theavod@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
And I encourage you to do all of those things. Until next time, I've been Cam Vargelon.
I've been DM.
Thanks for watching and have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.